Chapter 10. 2 days later, Mirko decided he should seek a further meeting with Abbot A. As he crossed the enclosure, someone called his name. Looking round, he saw that it was Sister Cecilia, the elderly nun who was in charge of the two Ivarca princesses. She was holding each of her charges firmly by the hand as she hobbled along. "Father Mirko," she said respectfully, "would you permit Princess Orla to ask you a question?" "Yes, if it needs only a short answer, sister. I'm on my way to call on the abbot." "Father Mirko," Orla asked at once, "did you see Blahach in Kildare?" "No, I didn't. I didn't really expect to, but the milk there was very good." "I still miss her, father." "I understand that, my child, but everyone suffers some losses in life, often much worse than yours. But when I was speaking to the herdsmen yesterday, they told me another cow was just about to calve. I could ask them to let you help look after the young animal if it's a heifer. Of course, Sister Cecilia would have to be with you all the time." "Oh, yes, please, father, I'd love that." Sister Cecilia looked rather tight-lipped. Now the younger princess, Davnet, joined in. "But what about me, father? I'd have no pet then, and Orla would." Mirko sighed. "Well, Princess Davnet, you must try not to be jealous. Jealousy is bad. But perhaps you might be allowed to help with the second next heifer calf on the same conditions." Sister Cecilia looked even less pleased than before. "Are you sure this is wise, Father Mirko?" she asked. "We wouldn't want this cattle minding to distract them from their studies." "It's a good thing for any young lady, no matter how high-born, to know something about dairy husbandry, sister, is not that so? Holy Brigid, for example, excelled in that regard, I believe. I have no doubt that you'll be well able to ensure that their classwork doesn't suffer." Sister Cecilia bowed silently. She knew as well as Mirko that the two girls were well ahead of their age group in their studies. Mirko inclined his head to the nun and continued on his way to the abbot's house, making a mental note to speak to the head herdsman later. How difficult it was to deal with females, he thought. Abbot A was looking restless. "Cormac tells me it'll be a month before I can get around. A month." "Healing takes time, Father Abbot," said Mirko, trying to hide a grin, "and maybe you needed a rest." "Easy for you to talk. Wait till you break a leg, then you'll know what it's like." "Yes, no doubt I will. But if I may change the subject, there are a few matters I need to discuss with you." "All right, go ahead," said A grumpily. It might soothe the abbot, thought Mirko, to hear some good news first. "As you suggested," he began, "I've looked for parallels between Holy Scripture and the events of Patrick's life. For a start, he himself identifies several of them in the Confessio, and I could quote those. I found some others too. For instance, his 28 days of hungry wandering through some deserted area. That was after the ship he escaped in came to land. Recall the Israelites' long travels through the desert before God sent manna to feed them." "Very good, Mirko. You should use plenty of those comparisons. We need to show strong links back to scriptural events. Now, about my travel arrangements, Father Abbot. Even before our last conversation, I'd come to the same conclusion as you. For further material, I need to go at least to Coola, Inverculpa and Slemish. But now I must ask you, should I not also go to Armagh? They must have a lot of information about Patrick there." "No doubt they have, Mirko, but my answer is no. I want to present a completed life of Patrick to Abbot Chagin on my next visit to Armagh. Advance notice would give the anti-Sleaty faction an incentive to look for more ammunition against us, or else they'd pull you in, and before long it would be the life of Patrick by Mirko of Armagh instead of Mirko of Sleaty. Either way, our monastery would suffer. Up to now, Armagh have not made full use of their patrician material, at least not in a devotional uplift sense. Now we'll surprise them by showing that we've been able to do it independently. What with that and Fiuk's relics, we'll become an important centre of patrician veneration." Mirko had doubts about this. "But couldn't we be accused of ignoring available information?" "Not if you have got your material from where they must have got it originally, the learned men and keepers of tradition in the areas most closely associated with Patrick." Mirko felt this imposed an extra burden on him. "Would you not think further on that point, Father Abbot?" "No, Mirko, I understand your hesitation, but you must accept that I know more about the political and diplomatic aspects than you do. I require your obedience in this." Mirko sighed. It could be difficult, even unreasonable, but he had the right to invoke a binding vow, that of obedience. "Yes, Father Abbot," he said. "I can only pray then that I'll be able to carry out this task even without using an important source like the Armagh records. And I too will pray for your success, Mirko. If I didn't think you could write a worthy vita from original sources, I wouldn't be asking you to do so. Merku turned to another subject that had been on his mind. During our visit to Ardbrecken, he said, we had excellent cooperation and hospitality from Abbot Uchig and the rest of his community, hospitality they could ill afford. But as I told you, I could offer them a little in return except a few sheets of vellum. I think we should reward them in some way. Also, Phelim, our accomplished driver and bodyguard, has been invited to live and start a family there with land of his own on their estate. As far as I can make out, he's thinking of marrying a Kildare girl, one with no link to the Kildare establishment, I hasten to add. Would you consider releasing him from his obligations here? I've been thinking about that since you mentioned it before, A said. I've little to do but to think and pray while I'm stuck in bed. I'll ask Prior Cuncad to find out whether Phelim can be replaced in his tasks here without too many problems. If the answer is yes, he can go in, say, 6 weeks' time. If it's no, he'll have to spend up to a year training replacements. I'm sure he'll be most grateful, Father Abbot. And he can take an ox cart and oxen to pull it. We have two other teams, or else two horses if he prefers. That'll be our gift to Ardbrecken, and Phelim can take a message to Abbot Uchi that I'll celebrate a mass especially for him and his community. Excellent. I can see, Father Abbot, said Mirko mischievously, that by giving you all this time to think, the Lord has brought good out of evil. Enough of that, Mirko, the abbot growled. Have you anything else to ask me before I have you thrown out on your holy head? Mirko took the precaution of moving his stool a little further from the bed. I've been talking to Phelim's nephew, Fionthan, the one who learnt all Phelim's skills. He has travelled a bit too. Ossory and the Dacia, and once to Invernia in Coola. He could drive an ox cart to Invernia with me, Dunica, and two bodyguards. Why two bodyguards? One to come back with Fionthan. Those are dangerous hills for a driver on his own. And one to come with Dunica and myself on our travels. We'd take a boat northwards along the coast. Seems like a lot of travellers, but, the abbot brightened, they could bring back a load of smoked fish from the port and maybe some wine too if there's a trading ship in. They'd have to be trustworthy lads. They will be, Father Abbot. Phelim and I will choose them. Right, well, when you leave, would you ask Brother Kitchener to send me over a mug of buttermilk and an apple? Certainly, said Mirko, glad that his arrangements had been approved. And I'm very pleased that your injury has not prevented your appetite from returning. Get out. Mirko bowed and took his leave. He had a busy time for the next few days, as well as completing his reading and getting Dunica to read the same texts in case he forgot something. He spoke to Prior Cuncad and secured Phelim's early release. Then the two bodyguards had to be recruited. Phelim recommended Oscar and Oisin, twin sons of the estate blacksmith, honest and sturdy lads who had done their weapons training and were delighted with the chance to travel. Two of the injured young Ivarca men in the infirmary, now recovered, volunteered to labour without pay at the twins' tasks rather than face King Fargal's wrath immediately. And on the last day before departure, Mirko remembered to tell the head herdsman about his promise to Orla and Dovnet. Abbot A was not expected to emerge from his house to see them off, not while resting a broken leg. But when they turned aside from loading the ox cart, there he was, sitting up on a stretcher, being carried by two of the strongest novices and escorted by two more. Four of the travellers knelt in the dewy grass of the enclosure to receive his blessing. The abbot gestured to Fionthan, who was already in the driver's seat holding the reins, that he should not climb down. Fionthan compromised by turning towards the abbot and bowing his head. Mirko felt touched by the effort his abbot had made to honour their departure. We deeply appreciate your kindness, Father Abbot. I'll pray daily for the safe return of you all. And the success of your mission, A announced. Then he beckoned Mirko over to his stretcher. Remember, old friend, he said, that it's best to have two reliable sources for each piece of information when that's possible, or at least to try and see whether what you're told fits with what you already know. I'll expect you back a month from now, 6 weeks at most. You should return before autumn weather sets in. God be with you, Mirko. Patrick surely will.